1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, where the build-up to this weekend's action is already on. John Beaton's been named as the referee for Sunday's clash between Rangers and Celtic. Nicholas Coon says he's feeling close to 100% heading into the game at Ibrox. And James Tavernier speaks of his surprise at becoming the highest scoring British defender of all time. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you have Gordon Dalziel and Jim Duffy. I don't know what, you're 100 and something goals behind. Yeah. James Tavernier in the all-time British defender
list. Is that Gordon you're talking to? Me, he's a striker.
Both is. both is together.
But it is one of those rare weeks where it's Tuesday, to state the obvious, but really the weekend build-up's already started. That tells its own story, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it started, the second after Celtic, beat Livingston at the weekend there, and then everyone could just focus on the weekend ahead and the big match you mentioned there, adding a little bit of spice to it with John Beaton being confirmed as the referee. And then the comments will come out from the various players, like Nicholas Coon. It'll be a big occasion if he's selected to play. And you mentioned there, and I think rightfully so, I just don't think it's enough credit to James Tavernier. I think to score that amount of goals, and people will always say about penalties and free kicks and all that, forget all that. For a fullback to score, and his assists, people don't, the amount of assists he's had as well, and the amount of criticism he's had to deal with at times in his career, I think is testimony to an absolutely outstanding player, and I think he deserves an enormous amount of credit for that achievement.
Yeah, first and foremost, congratulations to Tavernier, because Duff summed it up there perfectly. He's been absolutely brilliant, and we've sat in this show many a time and people coming on and questioning the fact that, is he a Rangers captain, is he a leader, is he, you know, a good defender?
When Philip Clement got the job, I think the first call we heard that night was the first job he did take is take the captaincy off Tavernier.
Look, he's been absolutely terrific for Rangers in every aspect, you've got to say, and congratulations to him. But the build-up's all about Sunday, Gordon. Already the excitement. I'm in Asda today. People are following me about asking me my prediction on a Tuesday. It ain't going to happen.
What were you buying?
Just the usual groceries.
Oh, his health
supplements.
Yeah. Stuff eyes.
You know, I go to the gym and look after them.
Listen, the supplements you buy are sourced from a very different outlet, I suppose. Throat sweets, no? You getting any of them?
No.
Any hall soothers and lockets? I heard you had a wee voice malfunction on the show on Saturday. Did you hear this, Jim?
My voice cracked.
I think we can play it. This was Gordon Dalziel on Saturday.
He wasn't very mobile, was he, when he came back?
No, he didn't look fit at all, so...
What on earth?
I can't stop listening to that. I played it 5 times on last night's
thank
show.
You.
I'm going to keep playing it tonight. I'll play it again when Mark Wilson returns with you on Thursday.
Do you know the funny thing about it, right? I'm sitting there, and I know my throat's just absolutely gone, Jim, right? So I've looked to my right, hoping that Wilson or Shuggy doesn't recognise, and the two of them are buckled out. And I get absolutely I've no idea. It's the first time in every radio show I've done.
Well, I've never heard a noise like that. Can we hear it one more time?
No, I don't. And it's a bit embarrassing.
Wasn't very mobile, was he, when he came back?
No, he didn't look fit at all, so...
Outrageous.
You've got an ailment there. You've got no sympathy whatsoever.
Duff, I know, terrible. Wilson's supposed to be my friend as well.
Anyway, 01419511025. What is on your mind tonight? Sunday. The game is Sunday. It's not even Saturday, but the build-up is in full flow already. John Beaton has been named as the man in the middle for the big fixture. That was the breaking news today. It's always Tuesday in the week, you can sort of find out. I had a funny feeling there would be a reaction to it either way. So John Beaton is the man in the middle. If you've any thoughts there, if you've any thoughts specifically about the football and how both teams arrive in the fixture and who could be the key men and what this week's going to be like and all the stuff that goes around it. You know there is so much. You don't even need me, really, to sort of set the scene or give you ideas. I think it's fairly obvious. Anything at all surrounding this fixture at the weekend, get your calls in right now on 0141 951 1025. Quite often, Gordon, on a Tuesday, you're used to this slot. You sweep up what's left over from the weekend's talking points? I wonder if there are any, or if it's full steam ahead to the weekend.
I think it was a case of Rangers were out to bat first on Saturday, got a good result against Hibs, at times played very well. The only disappointing thing about it was the goal they gave up. They would probably be, you know, pride themselves on clean sheets, especially the goalkeeper. But it was job done. It's all about the 3 points. Over to you, Celtic at Livingston. I said in Saturday's show that the days for me that Celtic and Rangers, for instance, I know there's been some tricky games in the past, but Livingston are in a bad place just now. They look like they're, well, they will be a championship side. Of that, there's no doubt. I thought Celtic very, very comfortable, Gordon, I've got to say. I did expect that, I said that, and now it's looking forward to Sunday.
Let's dive into these phones then. Stephen's a Celtic fan in Kirkintilloch. Take it away, Stephen.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call again.
Our pleasure. What have you got for us?
I've got a couple of wee points, if I could. First one is just looking forward to next week's game. Obviously, I'm thinking that these are the games that are definitely going to be deciding the title this year. I think the Old Firm games are definitely going to be the ones that mean the most for a long time. Just glad to see Celtic back to somewhat full strength. Good to see Hatate back. Just looking forward to seeing what this team can do. It's been a while since we've had we're really strong players all available, you know. So I think we're getting them back just at the right time, you know, just when we need them.
Yeah, I think we can almost see a level of confidence from both heading in, and sometimes that's the best way.
Yeah, I mean, normally you would say, you know, does form go out the window, and we have all these questions about form leading into it. But both teams are in decent form, they're scoring goals, they're winning football matches, so confidence is high. As Stephen mentioned there, other than Callum McGregor, who, you know, could be fit, but he's the one in such a pivotal part. He has dominated the two Old Firm games this season so far, and been the best player on the pitch for me in both of those games, and been so instrumental. So if he does miss out, I still think that will have a significant impact, and maybe how Celtic you know, play in the game. But yeah, Carter Vickers back, Hatate back, Kyogo back, looking a little bit sharper. You know, yeah, I think that you know, both teams are getting in good form with you know, most of the players with a clean bill of health.
I agree with that. I looked at the weekend and I looked at Rangers at the beginning against Hibs. They were the first game up, and you look at the bench, Jim. They're very strong again on their bench. Sima, who was massive for them before he got injured, got some game time, but interesting to see if he takes a gamble on him. I know he's had a long time out, but these games look after herself. Then you flip it to Sunday, and I thought with Hatate in the middle of park, Celtic look a different outfit. Carter Vickers is a must. Yes, we all know that. We spoke about that in length. McGregor would be a massive miss. Of course he is. He's a captain. He's a leader. Terrific footballer. But Hatate, for me, back in there, I think Celtic looked that little bit sharper again. And I think that's why they were so comfortable against Livingston. So, going back to your point, going into Sunday, I think the two sides, squad-wise, are in a good place.
What do you make of John Beaton's appointment to the fixture, Stephen?
Well, that was my second point, guys. See, for me, I know maybe the SFA have maybe looking at it as a wee, you know, trying to bring maybe Celtic into alignment by saying, listen, we make the decisions and stuff. But ultimately, I think it's an absolutely crazy decision, a crazy appointment, because I think there's going to be an inordinate amount of pressure on John Beaton to get every single decision correct. And listen, VAR has told us that even with the best work in the world, that you're not going to get these decisions correct. And I think because the Old Firm games, right, are so pivotal to this year's title, by the end of this game, there will be fireworks for one side, if not both sides. And I see it as a lose-lose situation.
Is that different from any other? Is that different from any other game involving these sides, though?
Well, I think so, because I remember, look, previously, I remember Rangers had an issue with Willie Collum, and they said, look, we don't want him in our games. And the SFA never really put him into any of the games for a long time, just to keep him out of the firing line. This one, we're being so close to the suspension for Brendan Rodgers, for me, I think it's litmus paper. I just cannot believe that somebody at the SFA would have actually thought that this was a good appointment. The game's not even kicked off yet, right? And I believe there is going to be some amount of trouble after this game because you just know there will be one or two really big decisions that maybe not go in your favour, and I just see it being crazy. Genuinely, I genuinely do. I think it's nuts that they've actually went with it.
Unfortunately, the sadness of this, I know it's John Beaton, right? And obviously the spotlight goes on because of the Brendan Rodgers situation. I don't care what referee you put in at the weekend. The referee's got to come under so much pressure to get every decision right. Will he do that on the day? I don't think he will, because I think it's nigh impossible. I think that he'll try his very, very best. Well,
especially considering what you think is right might not be what I think is right. Correct. Before we even get to the ones that most people agree on.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter if it's John Beaton or Willie Colm or, you know, Don Robertson or whoever else you want to say. I just hope that we're not talking about the referee. I think it's all about the importance of the game. I think it's all about the two sides going out there, and it's a very important game. Of course it is, for a title race, because there's not a lot of games left. The winners will probably take a big, big advantage at the weekend. And as I say, I know there'll be some fans out there not too pleased about John Beaton. I think John Beaton's probably one of our best officials gone. I think he's experienced enough. He's had about five Rangers-Celtic games, Celtic-Rangers. Rangers have won two, Celtic won one, drawn two. There have been decisions that you can go back to in the past and say, well, Rangers fans will think, well, he favours Celtic there, and Celtic fans will think he favours Rangers there. We'll get that at the weekend, no doubt. But John Beaton, to me, is a professional. I think he prides himself on his refereeing, and I've not got a problem whatsoever with John Beaton refereeing the game Sunday.
I think partly this has been set in motion, you know, prior to this, as Stephen says, you know, it's off the back of the Brendan Rodgers ban and the John Beaton situation. Mm-hmm. You almost forget John Beaton wasn't the referee that day at Tynecastle.
He was the video assistant.
It was the VAR. And yes, of course, that plays a huge impact now. I think we all accept that. But Don Robertson, who was the ref that day, who makes the final decision, is almost not. So what, would it not have been controversial to appoint Don Robertson to this one? Mm-hmm. Even though he was the one that made the final decisions at Tynecastle. Yeah. But it is controversial to appoint John Beaton, who was the VAR at Tynecastle.
I think it seems to have been lost, or you know, people just don't want to register the fact that Don Robertson had the final decision. You know, whether, you know, John Beaton has got his opinion on it and his views on it, and he brings a referee over to have a look at things, ultimately Don Robertson still has the final say on it, and he decided to go with you know, a similar view to John Beaton. But it's the referee that had the final call. So I feel it was a wee bit unfair on John Beaton. He brings it to the referee's attention. The referee then has to make that decision on his own. As far as this is concerned, yeah, I do think there is an extra added responsibility. Yeah, we know, we said that there's always a huge amount of pressure. But in this particular occasion, because of what was happening, because it's his part of the world and it's this particular fixture, yeah, there is a wee bit, you know, more. He will get scrutinised more, I think, for every decision he makes, even more so than would have normally. Mm. And because of how the league is and how close they are and all these sort of things, every decision will have, you know, an extra edge to it. So he's in a no-win situation. Ultimately, it's up to the players to go out there and perform and behave. That's the bottom line. The fans will work off the players. If the players react and get carried away and you know, forget the fact it's a football match, then that can frustrate, and the referees then got to deal with that. But if the players go out there and focus on playing football and trying to win a football match, then hopefully the referee can have as quiet a game as is possible in this fixture.
Are we in danger, Stephen, of, you know, kind of all of us, like, overdoing this stuff? So you're saying, you know, it can't be John Beaton because of what happened at Tynecastle. I noticed that this weekend, Nick Walsh is going to be in the VAR room. Now, you yourself are someone who gives that position real importance, because you've referenced John Beaton having done it at Tynecastle. So Nick Walsh is in the VAR room. At which point am I going to get Rangers fans phoning in tonight and saying, oh, what, would that be the same Nick Walsh that missed that handball when the teams last met? Who's the fourth official this weekend? Oh, it's Willie Colm. You're kidding me on. The same Willie Colm that was the VAR that helped miss the Alistair Johnson handball. Who's the right man for the job this weekend then?
It's a very difficult one. I just think, common sense wise, I think if you ask both sides, both Glasgow sides, right, if they were happy with John Beaton being the referee, I think you will find that it's a massive no from both fans, right? Rangers fans will be thinking that he's going to try and be making amends for any decisions that has brought him into the limelight against Hearts, right? Which, that they're gone now, right? And Celtic fans will be thinking, I told you he's never going to give us anything. Look what he's done to us against Hearts, and he's doing the same now. I get it. The fans in Glasgow can be fickle, right? We don't really need much to set each other off. But I just think it's a common sense thing. I just think it's a bad appointment. Listen, we've got lots of good referees. So if after this issue that Celtic have been up at the SFA and there's been a ban in place, do you honestly believe that it's a good appointment? Listen, I'm no talking about his credentials, and I'm not calling him biased, I'm not calling him this or that. I'm just saying, for this game, the common sense approach would have been not to appoint him. I genuinely just believe it for his own sake, honestly.
Fair enough. It's a point well made, Stephen. Thank you very much. 01419511025. You can tweet as well. We'll take more of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
01419511025. Give us a call or send us a tweet. Join in as we build up to a Sunday game on a Tuesday. You know what fixture that is, don't you? If there is anything else that's out there and you want to get it off your chest, let's do it tonight on the phones. Charlie's next up. He's a Celtic fan. How are you, Charlie?
Hi, everybody. I'm good.
What's your point for us tonight? What have you got?
My point is Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a right kick in the teeth to Celtic appointing John Beaton. A man that I think cheated Celtic against Hearts.
Be careful with that word to take it. That's your opinion, that's fine. But just
let's
be sensible.
It's a bit blatant, in my opinion.
Well, I was going to say, Charlie, he doesn't make the on-field decisions. The on-field decision may be Don Robertson, the referee. So whether he calls a referee over is secondary to the decision that has to be made on the pitch. And the referee has agreed with, you know, his assessment of what he saw, and therefore he has made those ultimate decisions. So yeah, John Beaton can have an influence on it, if you want to call it that, to bring the referee over. But ultimately, it's the referee has the final call on it.
I mean, Jim is factually correct, Charlie. So I wonder why is it that John Beaton's become the real subject of that day rather than Don Robertson, who was the on-field ref? I don't want him to get stuck either, by the way, but.
Don, when you look at it, the Celtic player wasn't even watching, seeing the half player. He was going for the ball. He wasn't even looking at the half player. It's not as if he had a look at him and then put his feet up. And then you could say, I definitely a red card. He's seen the boy coming.
No, listen, I get that, but what I mean is, where do we get away from, you know, referees just make bad decisions, don't they? Why has this become all about John Beaton? He might have made what you think is a bad decision in that VAR room to bring Don Robertson over, but Don Robertson then makes the final decision on that day, doesn't he?
But this is the thing as well. Too many of them are going out to the monitor and they're not sticking to their decision.
Well, here's the thing, right? And because VAR's a worldwide phenomenon, has been for years, and Charlie's bang on in the sense that you know when they go over to the monitor.
90-odd%.
However, in the Scottish Premiership this season, I actually feel like we've had certainly more than I expected. We saw one at the weekend, didn't we? It was at Dundee St Johnstone. Yeah. We've had a few. Don Robertson did it. Ibrox, when he sent somebody off, was it Dujon Sterling?
Stuck by it.
There was a couple that probably were wrong to stick by it. Motherwell, Liam Boyce was called over. Remember, he got a kind of foot in the chest sort of thing. So I think we know by and large, but it can be done if the referee fancies it. And also, worth bearing in mind, we've had loads of Celtic fans who phone in that day and said, do you know what, hands up, actually, see the penalty we got at Tynecastle, that was never a penalty either. Now, yes, Don Robertson gave that on the field, but see if John Beaton was sitting there with hell-bent on making it difficult for Celtic that day, why would they not just call Don Robertson over to the monitor and try and get that decision overturned? You know, if that's your mindset, if you think John Beaton does everything in his power to make it difficult for Celtic, why did he not why did they not call Don Robertson over to the monitor?
I think we get carried away with this. And you're talking about the VAR thing about too many referees are getting called over. That's what it's here for. And also, I know that it disturbs the game a little bit, but us as pundits...
No, Charlie's talking about sticking by their decision once they go.
But what happens is when you go over that monitor, you've seen that in real time and you've made a decision. We've all seen it at the beginning, and then after watching it two or three times, how many times have we changed our minds and thought, no, it wasn't a free kick, no, it wasn't a penalty, I think we got that wrong. I think it just gives the referee in a situation where there's a bit of doubt, that little bit of time to go over, have a couple of looks at it, and you're right, there's referees that have looked at it and thought, yeah, okay, I've seen that from every angle, I've seen it two or three times, I've taken a deep breath, I still stick by my decision. I think that's good, Gordon. I think that's good for the game, right? I know that it takes a bit of time and it's frustrating for the supporters and frustrating for everybody who's watching. I totally take that on board. But I'm not just buying into this that referees will automatically run over there and go, okay, I'm going to change my mind.
I do think it's stacked in their... It's bound to be.
I think at the beginning it was.
It still is. Yeah, but it's just possible that they
don't. We've seen it even in Europe this year. I remember Maida getting sent off earlier on in Europe, and they run over in the first view, and because the cameras are panning onto the screen, there's a freeze frame of where his foot is, and everybody ever played football and watched it think, why is there a freeze frame? You're going over straight away. The referee's seen the most negative side of that challenge, and any freeze frame can make it look that. So, yeah, there are still things to be ironed out with VAR, Charlie. There's no doubt about that. Everybody, I think, certainly, you know, the vast, vast majority of managers, I don't think there's a manager out there that said they didn't want it at the top level. They all wanted it. There's still things to be resolved that can definitely still be improved. But as I said at the very start, the bottom line is the referee on the pitch is still the ultimate decision maker. So for me, although John Beaton, you can either think it was a red card or not a red card, because I know what you're saying in the young one, he didn't look at the player, but you can get sent off these days now, even though you don't deliberately mean a challenge. If it endangers opponent and the referee believes that that's the case, you can still get a red card. So sometimes we get carried away a little bit by the decisions, but I agree with you in the sense that you know, the VAR has to improve, and I think that that's the case right across Scotland and right across the UK.
We heard
Vincent Kompany on TV last night, and you know, really, really animated and saying, you know, the standards have to improve, and I think that we're no different in Scotland.
Incidentally, I had a chuckle when I saw Anthony Taylor's been appointed as the Man United Liverpool ref. And I clicked on the replies just to see if other people do the same as we do. And there was actually quite a bit of it. I can't believe they've got this guy. He's from Manchester. He shouldn't be refereeing that game. I don't know. It made me feel a wee bit better to know that we're not the only ones. Charlie, what do you think? Is that going to have a material impact on the game? You think your team will come out on top?
I still think we'll come out on top. I mean, the last two games, all but we've heard this, we'll do this and we'll do that. And we came out on top. So I'm quite confident for Sunday. I'm really looking forward to it.
I think both sides are, I've got to say. I said at the top of the show, I watched them the weekend. The positives for both the clubs is influential players coming back in. The strength of bench that Rangers have now got again with the options. You know that manager, he likes to rotate, so he's now getting that opportunity. He's getting his top players back. You flip it over to Celtic. Carter Vickers, we all knew what a miss he was in the centre of defence. He got another, 70 minutes or whatever in his legs at the weekend. Did he play a full game?
Yeah.
I missed.
Hatate and get 65.
Hatate gets minutes in his legs as well. I thought he looked really, really good for someone that's been out so long, because he's a terrific talent. So I've got to say, I'm looking forward to the game. I'm not really interested in who's got to referee. I think it's got to be an absolute brilliant spectacle for everyone concerned. It's a pressure game, because whoever wins this, and if somebody does come out a winner, they've certainly got an advantage.
Is this all... Because look, people are allowed to think that referees aren't good and some are better than the others. Of course, that's fine. Is this all in line, though, with a really intense title race? And... you know, I guess a day and age where everything's scrutinised more and everything's picked up. I mean, John Beaton, as you mentioned, has refereed this fixture before. You know, it's and there's not always been, of course, you pour over them. There's going to be some days where you think that decision was wrong or this decision was wrong. I think he's given Celtic penalties in this fixture, as far as I can remember. Was it not the 5-1 game or something at Ibrox? He did that one, didn't he? When Celtic hammered him.
A penalty very early on.
And by the way, that in itself doesn't prove anything. But I'm not trying to prove anything. You know, it's people who are coming on and saying.
But that's the thing, Gordon. If you have to try and justify the decision, that's kind of the point I'm trying to make. You're literally always going to go in circles because someone's going to bring another decision that went against them or something.
That's my point, because you can point to that individual moment. Doesn't really prove a case either way. John Beaton, I think, refereed Celtic on their way to winning two Scottish Cups. Mm. Two League Cups, somewhere in that
ballpark.
It's
one of the most difficult fixtures in world football to referee an Offaly game. There's no doubt about that, because of the spotlight, the intensity, you know, everything it entails, and particularly when you get to a situation at this stage of the season where both clubs are neck and neck. Yeah, you're right. You know, in the past, and particularly in recent seasons, other than the one over the last 12, 13, Celtic have been comfortably the better side. So there hasn't maybe been the same intensity building up to this particular game at this stage of the season. Certainly not for many a year.
That said, and you know, I'm just trying to be fair to John Beaton. That said, should with the hysteria coming off the back of Tynecastle, whether that's right or wrong, would it have been easier to just appoint somebody else? Or is that not the point? Is it ultimately the Scottish FA saying, well, we decide who we appoint, and therefore it's John Beaton this time and that's the end of it? Or could he have been kept out of this one? Would that have made any difference? If it was Willie Collum, would we have, you know, we'd probably, in a different way, would have been having complaints tonight, wouldn't we?
A bit of both. I think they could have easily taken the easy way out and says to John Beaton, look, because of what's happened in the last few weeks, we're just going to let you sit. We know you're a terrific referee, you're one of our top referees. We're going to let you sit this out. But in my opinion, I think they've been strong, and I think you need strong leadership, and I think they've made the appointment. I have not got a problem with John Beaton. I think John Beaton will go out there and referee the game as honest as he possibly can and try and make every decision right. He'll not get every decision right. There'll be a couple of free kicks that will go against Celtic, go against Rangers, everybody will complain. I don't care who it is. Yeah. I think any referee getting in that situation would be in the same boat.
Yeah, I think yes and no. I suppose the problem, Jim, is where do you draw the line? So, okay, it can't be John Beaton because of the situation at Tynecastle. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, it can't be Willie Collum, because the very last time these sides met, there was a Willie Collum debacle, rightly or wrongly. So we can't keep doing that, presumably. Yeah. Otherwise, you two are going to end up reffing a game in the future.
Yeah, but then you question the integrity of the referee. And that's exactly what we don't want to be doing. The referee has to be the right referee for the game, you know, by his performances over a concerted period of time, not by an individual decision that he made in either a Celtic match or a Rangers match. It's over a concerted period of time, and John Beaton has got the experience to go and do that, similar to guys in the past like Hugh Dallas in the past, or Willie Collum, or whoever it happens to be. You know, all these referees over the years, they get the big matches because the SFA believe that they're the strongest and most reliable referee for this particular game.
Thank you to Charlie. He's not happy with the appointment. If you've got any thoughts, you know where we are. Let's bring in Stuart. How are you, Stuart?
I'm very well, Gordon. How's yourself?
Not bad, not bad. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm just a bit gutted, but everything I've heard so far, apart from the panel, right, about all the... It doesn't matter who the referee is, in my opinion, right? I've been to Ibrox the last few games, and the standard of refereeing has been poor, to say the least. I've watched numerous other Scottish games, and I could also say the same. So I don't think it really matters who's in charge on Sunday. You know, this is probably the biggest Old Firm game we've had in a number of years. The biggest title fight we've had, and certainly in a number of years. So let's just embrace it. You know, hopefully we're in for a spectacular game, and we're not really talking about the referees or that. But this mantra from Celtic fans, always cheated, never defeated, it's just daft, you know. I don't think, as Gordon said there, I don't think John Beaton's going to be in his house Saturday night going, right, I'll give Rangers a penalty or I'll favour them. I truly believe, naively or not, that he will, as Gordon said, referee the game to the best of his ability.
How did you take that the other way round, though, Stuart? Because this is what I've always, you know, I know the way the rivalry works, and each side will say that the other side is worse for this stuff. But you remember the Willie Collum fallout from the last meeting, you know. So, are you honest enough to then apply that when things don't go your way?
Well, no, I just, as I said there, it wouldn't matter who was the referee on Sunday. There'd be fans for both sides saying, "Oh, we don't want him," or, you know. So, yeah. I just believe that hopefully John Beaton will referee the game as honest as he can, and hopefully we get a great game, and we're not talking about the referees and VAR on Monday, which I doubt will happen anyway.
I think Stuart makes a good point, and one of the previous callers summed it up. Unfortunately, now this stuff is so intense and surrounds you so much that previous caller was right. I can tell you right now about Monday, where if John Beaton gives a decision that the Celtic fans feel is against them, they'll say, oh, well, obviously, what would you look at that? Could have told you that was going to happen because he's against us. If he makes a decision the other way, the Rangers fans will phone also and say, this was bound to happen. Yeah. He's overcompensating. Yeah. He's bottled it. He's overcompensated for the accusations. Yeah. How depressing is that? That before the game's even taken place, I can tell you what the reaction will be.
It's ridiculous. I think Stuart makes points there about referees. Our referees just now, every single one of them come in for a hard time week in, week out. I've heard it last week. You look at Saturday night, Rangers got a terrific victory against Hibs at Ibrox Park, and I think the first two, three callers right away on about the referee dropped balls. They didn't drop the ball right, and they gave it to the advantage. Rangers, yeah. They never gave it back to Rangers. And that was it Dickinson that was the referee?
I have to agree. I have to be honest with you. I was watching that, and I was thinking, what's he doing?
Right. So all of a sudden, he gets it. We had it a couple of weeks ago at Motherwell when, you know, Theo Bear hits his, and the ball goes in the back, and the referee comes out. Every referee in our country just now is getting a hard time. So I get back to it, Gordon.
But there's only one fixture, and let's be honest, one or two clubs then that demand this type of discussion. Whoever that ref was, the Theo Bear one, if they agrees, there's no Motherwell movement to get that ref not involved
well,
in
that's
their
exactly
games.
What you say there, whoever that ref was. I know you'll know the referee, but that's
but
the
a lot of people have
but
forgotten.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. He's brushed aside, whereas in this particular fixture, the referee is paramount to the
and
game.
And don't get me wrong, I accept there's a supply and demand nature to that. I know why there's more discussion, but you know, it's, I think you've got to be careful, everybody, that it doesn't sort of overstep that.
I think, Stuart, I hope that it's not going to happen, but as a neutral sitting here just now, I'm excited for the game. I'm interested to see the teams, the tactics, how it plays out, who wins, who plays the best football, where's the exciting moments in the game. I'm not just concentrating from now to Sunday and going, well, John Beaton's a referee. You know, I keep going back to it, and I will stick to my point, and I believe in it. I don't care what, you can have your own opinions. I think John Beaton will referee this game to the best of his ability, as honestly as he possibly
well,
can.
I think
and I think every ref does that.
Maybe it is easier for us because we are on the outside looking in, especially when it was only ever going to be John Beaton, Nick Walsh, Don Robertson, you know, Stephen McLean, Willie Collum. That's probably it. And they've all done it recently, and they've all had stick recently. So,
but that's what I'm saying. Every referee will get stuck. But this is
but I mean,
only
this
Tuesday,
fixture,
Gordon,
only the top refs that
this
get
will
the
only escalate. I have to be honest with you. As sad as it is, I agree with Gordon. You know, you want to look at the fixture as a football match, and you know, the hope, the atmosphere, everything. You know, building up to two teams in good form with strong squads. You know, almost a full complement of players going head to head. And we've spent the first half an hour of the programme.
Ooh,
talking
and I don't
about
think we're don't think we're
that's
done
what I'm
yet.
Saying. It'll only escalate. It'll only get worse. Speaking about, you know, what might the hypothetical of what kind of decisions a referee might make in the game.
Thanks to Stuart. 01419511025. Let me tell you about this first.
Clyde One live celebrating the first 50 years.
Yes, for the last 50 years, Clyde One have brought you some of the best and most memorable live gigs, and we're going to do it over again in style as part of our 50th celebrations. We're going to take over the OVO Hydro on Friday the 31st of May, and we'd really, really like it if you would be there. We've announced the full lineup of Amy McDonald, Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Emily Sandy and Texas. Tickets are selling quick. If you want to secure your place, go to Clyde1.com.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon Dalziel are here, and they're already building up to a big weekend across Scottish football. It is all happening on the phones or Twitter. If you want to join in, we would love to have you. Joe is in East Kilbride. How's it going, Joe?
How you doing? Okay.
I'm good. How are you? Having a good day?
Yeah, I'm fine, pal. Thank you.
Good man. What's your point tonight?
What I'm on for tonight, Gordon, is I've been listening to yourself in the last couple of calls. You've been using an analogy with Willie Collum regarding the handball one that we remember against Celtic in the last game.
Oh, I remember.
But that was totally null and void, that decision, because he was offside before that. So I don't know where the comparison comes in there, that you can use that as an example.
No, listen, I get that. I'm not talking about whether decisions are right or wrong. I'm talking about once a perception of injustice is out there, like there was that day, and then once that turns into some sort of drama about statements or asking for refs to not referee games or comments that lead Brendan Rodgers to hearings, I'm talking about once you get that, does that then mean that that ref shouldn't do it again? So if there's a problem with John Beaton refereeing this one, what I'm saying is, okay, well, we've got a finite number of refs to choose from, but if John Beaton can't do this one on the back of the drama that followed Tynecastle, does that mean Willie Collum also can't do it on the back of the drama that followed the last meeting, and then so on and so forth? And Nick Walsh was the on-field ref that day, and Don Robertson was the on-field ref at Tynecastle. So I'm asking, where do we draw the line? Every time there's one of these dramas, does that ref then not referee the fixture going forward?
Well, do you know, I knew it was a stick-on, an absolute stick-on that Beaton would have got in the game this weekend. 100% stick-on. Rangers came out with the Willie Collum criticism. He's not been near Ibrox except for one Scottish Cup game, right? He's no refereed them in the league. So they obviously listen to what they're saying there. But when it's Celtic, it seems as if it's a different matter altogether. You know, it's as if we'll show him. And I get the feeling that your man Crawford Allen is going to be a bang here. And he knows what he's doing here with these appointments. I mean, to put Don Robertson and Charles here tonight was just a slap in the face to Celtic, I would say. And this is just the same. This decision on Sunday, it's just a slap in the face to Celtic.
Joe, who would you have refereeing?
Celtic should come out and make a statement about that.
But this is what I'm saying is the difficulty, Joe, because see when Rangers came out, or it came out that Rangers said they didn't want Willie Collum to referee their future games at the turn of the year, every single pundit on this show said, that's ridiculous. Clubs can't decide who does and doesn't ref the games. Everybody said that. So this would be Celtic kind of doing the same thing then, wouldn't it? If you're saying it can't be John Beaton and it can't be Don Robertson, how's that? It's kind of similar, is it not?
I'm sure, Gordon, there's other referees that they could have gave this game to. Okay, because as a couple of your callers have said earlier on, it could open up a powder keg, you know what I mean? If decisions go against one team or the other, and you're putting the guy under enormous pressure with, I think, giving him this game, you know?
Yeah, but the point that you picked me up on, and I think you're definitely right, because he's the most in-focus one, but would it be much different, say it's Willie Collum, we're only a couple of months on from that last big drama, so I mean he'd be under a whole lot of pressure as well then, presumably on the back of that.
Was it Nick Walsh?
I know what you're saying, it is difficult.
Cancelled,
you know,
the Lagerbielke one when Kyogo came your roof.
No, that was Don Robertson. Was that Don Robertson? Was it? I think. I don't know why you're doing this to me.
The reason I'm saying it is exactly what you're saying, Gordon. The point I'm making here is there's always going to be big decisions in these games where one side believes that the referees deliberately gave an advantage, and you know Joe is obviously believing that there's an enormous added pressure on John Beaton, but The thing is, I'm saying to you, Joe, that, you know, who would you get to referee this game at any time? Not even just at this time, at any time. There's always a spotlight on the referee, and there's always controversy regarding what referee selected for this particular game. Always.
I think that, and it was Don Robertson, I double checked, these things become etched in your memory, especially now, because we've got a VAR. And so if we are to go back to Tynecastle, that ended up becoming all about John Beaton rather than Don Robertson.
Willie Colvar.
And Nick Walsh. So you're doubling the amount of people that should be discounted from refereeing future matches.
Who could possibly referee this game? We'd end up, you know, and I know there's been debate before about bringing referees from out with, but again, what kind of slap in the face is that to our referees or officials to say, like, we don't trust any of you? And again, the integrity should never be questioned by referees. The referees make decisions based on what they believe is the correct decision at that particular time, not because of what school they went to or what team they supposedly support or whatever happens to be. But no matter how many times you'll say that, and I'm certain, a certain group of fans will never ever believe it.
And the one thing, Jim, I'm certainly not a big fan of clubs making statements against referees. I know that I sound like I'm sticking up for referees. I'm not really.
You do stick up for them.
I do, but I think they get a hard time. I think it's a very difficult job. Yeah, but don't get me wrong. When they're there to criticise, I'll jump on and criticise. But I didn't like the way Rangers handled their business with Willie Colm, and I certainly don't agree with Joe that a club like Celtic should then go and make a statement about John Beaton being the referee. This is our showbiz game. I think we should be talking up. Everybody says we should be talking up our game. All we're doing is talking referees here. Mm-hmm. We should be talking up our game. This is one of the biggest games we've had in a long, long time. The excitement of it and the importance of it. Let's talk up our game. The referee will take care of it itself on Sunday. John Beaton can skate through this and probably come out.
But that's the point. This is what I think is quite frustrating. Whether it is right or wrong, he won't, because it's now been decided. So now what you're seeing now is decisions that are marginal are now described as disgraceful, terrible, embarrassing, shocking. You know, marginal decisions are now called those things, and calls that were not even mentioned before, then they get bumped in to the marginal category.
A few years ago, it's
already been decided that everything will be blown out of proportion now, either way.
A few years ago, and not so much recently, because we've got VAR and stuff like that, but it used to be that if a team had a bad performance or a bad result, the manager would come out and give the referee a bit of stick, because that would deflect from this team's performance. We've seen it for many great managers over the years. The first person they would go for is the referee. But now, you know, I think that because we've got so many opinions on it, and, you know, as I say, it's not just the referee, it's the VAR, and obviously these games are televised, so you've got every angle that you can possibly suggest, and then you've got the variety of pundits, including myself, debating it, then I feel that it's just the scrutiny on referees is more than it's ever been. And is exactly what you say there. Any marginal decision now is just, you know, it becomes, you know, people put it then in a different level now, to the level of importance. This referee on Sunday will have a really, really difficult job because of the competition that we're in, because the league is so tight, and because of what's at stake for both clubs, not because he made a VAR decision that some people weren't agreeable with a few weeks ago.
Do you know what I think we need tonight? Just 2 minutes.
Bit of two minutes
of light-hearted fun. Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit, your chance to win a signed ball, take on Gordon DL or Jim Duffy, but only if you call before 7. 0141 951 1025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon DL are here. We're working our way through the big talking points from today, although so far there's been one main one on your mind: the appointment of John Beaton as referee for this game between Rangers and Celtic on Sunday. If you want to keep going on that topic, you can do. It might be a nice idea to shift focus a bit. We could talk about the game itself and everything else that goes around it, but you decide. 0141 951 1025, and we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Last time I saw you, you were playing live in person. Beat the Pundit, we were at David Lloyd in Hamilton. We're doing a Q&A night on Saturday. Yeah. Mark Wilson, Hugh Keevans. We did live in person Beat the Pundits. Hugh won his game. Mark won his game. How did you get on again?
I get beat. Yeah, but I get stitched up. Cause,
you didn't?
Yeah, because I went into the gym next day and the lad told me, Mark Wilson, once again, supposed to be a friend, he's not, was telling the answers, which I was very disappointed on. So, Jim.
Don't tell me, you weren't getting any assistance.
He didn't, I genuinely didn't. He was sitting next to me.
Yes, he did. Don't tell lies.
I thought it was particularly unfair, though, when the... There was two guys actually came up to play Gordon and they beat him convincingly.
No, they didn't beat no one.
They got them all right. To which Gordon said, in front of a large audience, well, look at the state of those two geeks. No wonder they beat me.
Right. And those two Jim, boys were at primary school, aren't they?
Probably.
Yeah. Jim, they had no clue about football, right?
The audience. Well, more clue
them
than you.
No, they didn't. The audience anyway, and Wilson helped them.
Let's play tonight with Brian and Paisley. How are you, Brian?
Yeah, I'm all good, guys. How's you?
Yeah, good. Have you ever played before?
No, first time.
Good stuff. Do you usually fare okay at home when you play along? How does it go?
It's a total mixed bag. It's sometimes it's 4 or 5, other times absolutely rotten. So.
It doesn't help that the difficulty level in our questions goes up and down like a roller coaster, yeah. But I think they're manageable tonight. If it's heads, it will be Jim Duffy. If it's tails, it will be Gordon DL. And it is heads, it's Jim against Brian and Paisley. So what we'll do is give Jim some greatest hits radio to listen to, nice and loud so he can't hear us. Brian, 30 seconds, just answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass and move on, that's fine by me, okay?
Perfect, okay.
Right, top man, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which other SPFL side has Theo Bear played for?
Livingston.
Which team's conceded the fewest goals in the Scottish Premiership this season?
Rangers.
Name the Livy player Hearts have signed on a pre-contract.
Pass.
What club is Sam Lammers on loan at?
Frankfurt.
Which Celtic player's previous clubs include Montreal and Nashville?
Oh, pass.
How many points are Dundee United clear at the top of the Championship?
4.
Okay, let's bring back Jim James Duffy. You ready?
Ready to go.
Same set of questions.
Gordon Easy. Dale singing there, a wee bit of the Bee Gees, a bit of falsetto.
Easy, mate. These are easy.
You think so?
Easy.
Okay. He's no pressure on him, that's how.
30 seconds on the clock, Jim, and your time starts now. Which other SPFL side has Theo Bear played for?
St Johnstone.
Which team's conceded the fewest goals in the Scottish Premiership this season?
Scottish Premiership, we'll go for Rangers.
Name the Livy player Hearts have signed on a pre-contract.
James Penrose.
Sam Lammers is on loan at which club?
Oh, is he that man?
Which Celtic player's previous clubs include Montreal and Nashville?
Johnson, Alistair Johnson.
How many points are Dundee United clear at the top of the Championship?
4.
Okay. Oh. Case. Brian, what are you thinking?
I thought Alistair Johnson is there and I completely blank.
I think that's the prime example of what happens when the pressure hits, Brian.
Yeah, I think so.
I think you'd have absolutely got that under a bit of a different time constraints. But let's go through them. Feed the Bear, as he's now known.
St.
Johnston, 1-0 Jim Duffy.
Oh, Brian.
Rangers have conceded the fewest goals in the Premiership. You both got it, 2-1 Jim Duffy. The Livy player Hearts have signed on a pre-contract is James Penrice, 3-1 Jim Duffy. Sam Lammers, though,
Utrecht.
Yes, none of you got that. And this was the one, Brian. This killed off any sort of comeback because you didn't get Alistair Johnson and Jim did. 4-1. And then on to the final question. How many points are Dundee United clear at the top of the Championship? You said 4, didn't you, Brian?
Yeah.
And so did Jim, though. Even though my sheet says 3, whoever wrote the questions, consider yourself chucked under the bus. It is 4. Yeah. But you both got it. So you got a couple on the board, Brian, but you met a man in form. Hard lines.
Yeah.
See that? Nah. Brian, see that? Yeah, sometimes good, sometimes bad. I'll tell you where you're putting this one in the category. Yeah? The right one? Bad? What do you think?
Thanks for that, Gordon.
Just to remind him, kick a man when he's down.
Right, so next time there's an open event, come and play Gordon.
I don't live.
Live, that's what you want to do.
Watch his bottle crash. Have you got any early thoughts about the game this weekend, Brian?
Not really. I like the Celtic's performance at the weekend was good against Livingston, so I'm hoping to take that into Sunday, but it's an old firm. Anything can happen. I'm
biting your
not
nails.
Worried, but it's a big game.
Yeah, I think we've argued about this before, right? And it doesn't help when these sides play each other like a minimum of four times a season. I think we've argued it before, so I won't hammer the point this evening, but we do get the notion that form goes out the window or anything can happen, and whilst I'm not saying that isn't the case, you'd much rather play well the week before, surely. You'd much rather get a good result the week before. However, is Livy like such a different life form? You're playing the team that's bottom of the league on a very unique surface, away from home. What are there things Celtic can take from the weekend into this, or is it entirely different?
I think there are elements of it, like any football match. One is dealing with the pressure, because Rangers had won the day before, so Celtic had to go there, so you've got to handle the pressure, the expectations. So players have got to get used to that, and obviously 0-0 at half time, there's a wee bit of unrest among supporters. So again, dealing with all that aspect of it, that, you know. But then when they score the three goals, you take the positivity, the confidence into it. As Gordon mentioned, the likes of Hatate and Carter Vickers getting really good minutes under their belt. So yeah, there was a lot of things you can take from the game, but winning is the most important thing in any game of football. You know, if you're winning on a regular basis, you get into the game with that belief that you can continue that in that vein of form. And we've mentioned before, both teams are in decent form. I think Philip Clement was saying that he wasn't overly happy with his performance levels. But to me, I've seen a fair bit of the Rangers game, and I thought that they played very well.
Negative the goal, Jim?
Yeah, I think that's something. I think is that in the goals that we mentioned there, just even in the quiz there, that Rangers have got the best defensive record. But the goals they have conceded, there's been quite a lot played just in behind, straight in behind, so almost straight balls against Celtic, against Aberdeen at the weekend there, against Hibs. You know, kind of similar type of goals. So yeah, they've definitely got to tighten up if they leave space in behind, and if Kyogo is in the kind of form as he's shown in previous Old Firm games, then, you know, they'll get punished.
I thought it was a good weekend for both of us. I really did. I thought, you look at a Hibs team coming to Ibrox, I didn't fancy them, but if they were ever going to put up a show, it was this weekend. They'd been in good form, middle to front. They've got some dangerous players. You see the squad they've got, they bring on Boyle. I think the disappointing thing for Rangers was a goal, but they dominated most of the game, and they're comfortable winners. And we keep saying it, you know, a Livy team can cause you problems. I thought Celtic, and especially with their manager sitting up in the stand, handled it very well. Professional job. I know that 0-0 at half time, you're right, you're thinking could be one. I never even looked at that. I thought it's just a case of when Celtic get the first, they come out in the second half, they looked a lot sharper, a lot fitter, and everything they've done. And I thought both sides would have been sitting on Monday going, yeah, we're happy in the build up going into Sunday.
I think there's a couple of players who've got to step up and play for Rangers in these games. I think Dessers and Cantwell, if he's selected, because Lawrence might get the nod. But Cantwell, you know, again, he's performed really well at him, but not in these games. In the Old Firm games, he's been pretty much anonymous. Dessers, similar. So there's a couple of, yeah, if Sima gets picked, or if Matondo is picked, or whatever it happened to be, then, but the big, the ones that have underperformed in these particular games, their level of consistency has been very good. Dessers has turned his Rangers career around, really. I think he's been absolutely terrific. But these are the type of games that you're ultimately judged on. Do you step up to the mark when it's the most important fixture in the calendar?
Thank you to Brian. You can give us your thoughts on 01419511025. Alex is up next. What have you got for us, Alex? Are you going to buck the trend? Is it all about referees? Have you got something different?
No, it's not. It's not about the refs. It's about the game. It's like, I think Rangers are going to win, honestly. I think I've got an Rangers season ticket. I've been going to the games all season. I was at the game against Hibs. All right, performance. The ref was horrendous, but the ref didn't really know what he was doing. But I think Rangers, Clement's got the team playing very well at the moment. And I've got the confidence that we'll go and beat them. I think 3-1. I think we'll go and win 3-1. And I think that we'll win 3-1, and then we go and beat Dundee, and then the confidence will come. I think Celtic will drop form a bit and we'll win the league, hopefully.
Alex, well, who would you play? Would you play Cantwell or Lawrence?
To be honest with you, I'd play Lawrence. Yeah. I'd play Lawrence. Because Cantwell, he just has too many skills and stupid things. But I think Cantwell comes on last half an hour and it'll be unreal. You play Lawrence.
You know, will look at Cantwell, will it not?
You look at Saturday, Cantwell's ball for Desher's goal is outstanding. He's got it in his locker. I do agree with Jim. I think there's a couple of Rangers players need a big one against Celtic. That's where you really make your name. Centre forward, you've got to bag that goal, because I remember Morelis went through this for a long time. You know, oh, he's never scored against Celtic. You've got to, and we said that at the weekend, Jim, that Desher's, I totally agree with you. I think he's really fitted into that number nine role now. I like him. I know he gets criticised of, oh, he's missing chances. Centre forwards do that. Good centre forwards do that because they're in the right place to miss him. Ali McCoy's missed a lot of chances in his career, and look at the record that he's got. I'm not saying that Desher's anywhere near that, but you've got to be in that circumstance to go and do it. I just look at him at the weekend. If he's really going to endear himself to the fans, nothing better than scoring against Celtic.
Thanks to Alex. I'm forgetting Alex is only just on. I was forgetting Alex wasn't the Beat the Pundit contestant. Sorry, Alex, I'm nearly kicking you out too early. I take it, so you think pretty straightforward, win this, beat Dundee, that would be it for you. That's how important you think these upcoming games are.
Yeah, I think win this, get Old Firm, and win against Dundee, and then you've got to see when the drop is for it. And it goes into a split. You need to win that Old Firm. It's decisive. You need to win this Old Firm first and then focus on winning the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, Alex. I think if you don't win this, then, you know, the fact is that'd be three Old Firm games. I think the psychological blow would be huge for Rangers. At the same time, if you can win this match and then, as you mentioned, go to Dundee and win again, gives you a little bit of breathing space, but just gives you that confidence, that belief, and not just the belief into the team and the manager, because I think there is belief within the team and the manager. I think the manager has installed real belief, but I think more importantly in among supporters, because, you know, they're still waiting in that big performance against Celtic. They haven't seen that yet. They've been better, certainly more organised under Philippe Clement. I think there's a more togetherness, there's a more understanding of how they want to play. But ultimately, they still haven't done that against Celtic. So, you know, Alex confident that his team can do it at the weekend. There's still going to be one or two decisions to be made from Philippe Clement in terms of his team. Does he go away a little bit more attacking minded players in the midfield, the likes of Lawrence and Lundstrom, or does he maybe just shore up a little bit with Diamande and Lundstrom, and then bring someone else in just to try and make it, likes a Sterling who's done that in the past. Does he bring him in and just make it just a little bit more secure? So there's one or two decisions still to be made.
Let's hear a bit from James Tavernier, since we're on the subject of Rangers, speaking about breaking that record for Britain's highest scoring defenders at the weekend.
Yeah, it's crazy, because if you would have told me when I first jumped in to be a professional footballer that I'd have a chance to be the highest scoring defender in British history, then I wouldn't have really believed you. But you know, that's obviously down to all the teammates that I played over with all the years that have helped me through the journey. And yeah, I'll just continue working hard and see how many I can get until I hang my boots up in a long, long way down the line.
It goes without saying he'll play. You know, funnily enough, he kind of went down holding his hamstring at the end of the game at the weekend. I don't think there was much there. Got up and he was fine. Gordon, to almost state the obvious about goal scoring being the kind of priority out of his game almost, how important is he going to be? I think he's 4 in his last 7 or something against Celtic as well.
Massive. And you look at, you know, the character for me as well. He misses a penalty against Hibs at the weekend, and next minute he's at the back post and he's volleying it into the back in it. So he doesn't dwell on the disappointments. He gets on with the next one. He's been absolutely sensational for Rangers. You've got to say that. I know he came in for criticism. I thought it was wrong. I really did. Yes, there were questions about, oh, he's defending, he's not a leader and all that nonsense. Tavernier has led by example. He's done it on the pitch. And that's where, as a player, you don't need a captain that bawls and shout. What you need is a leader to say, this is the way I'm going to do it. And he's led by that. His assists are brilliant. He plays nearly every game. His attitude, I think, is different class. His goal scoring is immense. So I've got to say, 131 goals for him right back. It's incredible, Gordon. And the Rangers fans should enjoy him while he's got him, because he is a massive part of that club.
Thanks to Alex. Let's bring in Kevin, who's going to give us the Celtic side of things. I don't think you're on about refs either, Kevin. We've turned over a new leaf after Beat the Pundit.
No, I wasn't really bothered who the ref is, to be honest. I've not got much to say on that. I'll keep my mouth shut, right? I think just about getting into this game, I think both teams obviously in decent form, but I think the big advantage that Celtic have got getting into this game is just the mentality on how to win these games consistently. A lot of the Rangers players seem to choke when it comes to these Old Firm games. Maybe that will change this weekend. Hopefully not. But I think that's where Celtic have got the big advantage, is having that experience of how to get through these games, especially heading into Ibrox where we're not allowed any fans in. I don't know what you think about that. Celtic having the upper hand when it comes to the experience of winning the games.
Yeah, it's still quite a small sample, that, of no fans or a small allocation, which I think we're pleased to see is going to improve a bit next season. I had this fear a few games ago that we were going to descend into home team always wins, a bit like the Ryder Cup's heading that way, to speak your language, Gordon Gale. Yeah. But of course Celtic earlier this season went to Ibrox, Kyogo scored and they won 1-0 and they bucked that. I do wonder if the obvious factor about home advantage is your fans, and right now we've got about the most extreme example of that because there are no other fans. How much does the Ibrox factor add to Rangers this weekend? Celtic have shown it can be done, but what does it do for you?
I totally agree with Kevin. I think that if you're looking at the two sides, Celtic know how to win this fixture. I've seen Celtic at Ibrox with a back four and they've been criticised before a ball was even kicked. And people are saying, well, if Rangers can't score 2 and 3 today, you know, they'll never score against Celtic. And Celtic come out on top. They just know how to win this fixture. But Clement's in the building. It's his first one at Ibrox. He's made such an improvement. There's a different side to this Rangers side. I too agree. I think that Rangers need to show character and big character, because Celtic will not go there a frightened side. They've got guys that go there thinking, we know how to win in this venue, although we've no fans in there, we know how to silence this crowd. But I think it's just, it's a different animal that Rangers are just now under this manager. I think he's getting his point over week in, week out. They look better organised, everything about them. They're starting to believe that they can go and, you know, be winners and stay that way. That's why I think it's such a terrific game. I think it's two terrific managers going head to head, and I think it's two teams with two terrific squads going head for head as well, and it'll just be on the day for me.
What do you make of Kevin's notion about, you know, who's got the experience of it and so on? I was looking at the Celtic team that went to Ibrox earlier this season. Obviously it'll be, you know, mostly the same, but Bernardo wasn't involved yet, so you know he could come in.
If McGregor's fit, I think McGregor will play.
So Nicholas, funnily enough, Hatate didn't play, but he's been here before. Nicholas Kuhn would be fresh into it. Rangers would have some as well. Does that experience of it?
I think from Celtic's point of view, definitely, because they've been there and done it, the vast majority of their team, you know. So, you know, whatever it is, 90% of their team or 80% of their team have been there, the manager has been there and done that, so they're not getting into unfamiliar territory. They're getting into a situation they know how to expect. If they make a good pass or a good challenge, there's going to be total silence. You know, if they score a goal, it's going to be silence. I mean, we remember when the goal was scored at Ibrox the last time, it's almost as if you're waiting and getting chopped off, because it's so surreal. But the Celtic players are used to that, and you know, and have handled it, and have handled it really, really well. And Rangers didn't handle it, you know, the expectation of their fans. They started the game really positively in terms of the atmosphere, but you know, ultimately they couldn't manage to turn in a performance. And at Celtic Park, again, Celtic handled it better. So, you know, Brendan Rodgers has got a phenomenal record in these fixtures. So I don't think there's going to be any real concern from Celtic getting into the match without fans. I agree with Gordon in some aspects that Philip Clement has got a different mindset into the players, but they still have to prove it in this fixture. And the manager can have all the belief in, as he wants, and can, you know, have all the tactical knowledge and, you know, that kind of psychological effect on his players. But ultimately, his players have to be able to good enough and brave enough to carry out. And so far, they haven't done that. So this is a huge test for Rangers. And this is also a test for the manager to see, can he get inside the players' heads to give them that belief that they can turn in a performance that can be better than Celtic on Sunday.
Thank you, Kevin. 0141 951 1025. More of your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon Dalziel are here on 0141 951 1025. If you want to get in touch, we would love to hear from you. Still plenty of time as we build towards the big game in Glasgow on Sunday. A lot of other big games this weekend as well, incidentally. Or if you've got any thoughts hanging over from the weekend, please do feel free to share them with us. In the meantime, let me give these two the question that you sent in.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, where their goal is a better wardrobe, slat wall, home office or media unit.
Right, the full-time teaser, that's when you send the question in and the pundits try and come up with the answers. It's always a bit of fun towards the end of the show. We just dip in and out of it, keep these two focused, concentrated, because they can, you know, they can sort of tail off, get a bit tired come the end of the show. So thanks to Bob and Shettleston for sending this in. Almost certain we've had this before, or variations of it, but we'll go for it. It's relevant. Can you name the last 10 players to be sent off in an Old Firm game?
Morelos.
Yep, twice.
Beaton?
Yes, Jim Duffy.
Starfield?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
Elbow at Ibrox? Do you know get sent off for that?
Who have you said? Morelos and Beaton?
Beaton, yeah.
All right.
McGregor.
I was going to say Callum McGregor. That was mine.
No, well, I got in there first, John. Not too sure, but we'll go as a team tonight.
I think Scott Brown.
No. Okay, we'll leave it there because you've got a couple already. I don't think that's too bad. Just leave it for now. You've got McGregor, Beaton, and Morelos. Sterling. Can you name the last 10? No, to be sent off in a game between Rangers and Celtic, Celtic and Rangers. We'll get back to it. Thanks as always to Universal Interiors for helping us out with the question. Let's hear a bit from Nicholas Kuhn, shall we? He feels he is getting close to 100% heading into this game at the weekend.
I think for me personally it took some time to get into the new system and everything, but now it's getting better and better with every game. I have the strength to go over 90 minutes. It's getting better and better. I heard a lot about the game already with my manager. He played for Rangers. He told me a lot before I came here about the match and how important it is to the people. So I'm looking forward. I want to play every game. And now I'm happy to get a chance to play. He told me a lot about Celtic. And he told me what a great club it is. Of course, you have pressure. And I think now he's a Celtic fan as well.
Yeah, Christian Nerlinger's now a Celtic fan, says Nicholas Kuhn. That's his agent. So in the space of three, four, 5 weeks, has he become nailed on to start, you know, in this game and carry the hopes of Celtic, some of Celtic's attacking?
For me, yes. Brendan Rodgers spoke very highly about him when he came in, and I think we all sat back and there was a bit of question marks. Now, we don't know what was going on. Obviously, the lad had dropped some weight, and obviously it's something to do with his teeth and all this carry on. Now, we don't know that, Gordon. We're just judging him week to week. And I thought when he came on against Aberdeen, he looked sharp, and then he fell right away. And you're thinking, this could be another disastrous signing, especially in the wide areas where they've got a lot of players at that time. But I've got to say, I've been very impressed with him. I really have. I think he's got a lot in his locker.
I've been mildly impressed.
Have you, Jim? I think he's coming on.
I think there's a fair bit to go.
Listen, I think he needs time. He's, by his own admission, it's taken him time to get his fitness levels up. He's get used to the style, as he mentioned, which is totally understandable coming to a new country. I've always said that, you know, players do need time. But I think that, you know, there's still a fair bit of you know, performance levels to come in terms of goals and assists. Ultimately, a wide player now isn't about really, you know, getting to the byline and sticking in crosses. It's about being creative in that final third, creating space for your teammates, linking up, getting in at the back stick, you know, when balls are coming across from the other side.
Well, what you've seen, Jim, are you playing him before Palmer? Because obviously Maeda will start. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I think he'll start, but I'm just saying I think there's still a bit to go in him. You know, to get to the levels where Celtic expecting, again, totally understandable. I'm not you know, criticising the boy for that. I just think that he's improved, but at the level that Celtic would expect him to go, he'll need this season to understand the demands, the expectations, the performance levels. You can't just pick and choose.
Well, if there's a fixture to do it in,
yeah,
this is a
real test for him of character, strength of character and ability, because you cannot switch off for a split second. We mentioned earlier on there won't be any Celtic fans there, which will be a completely unique experience for him. So he's going to have to get used to all that as well, as the intensity, the pace of the game, everything. So this will be a real major step up for him, and it'll be, I'm really looking forward to see if he can step up for the plate. He has got ability, there's no question about that, and he has improved. I do agree with you, Gordon, but I wouldn't say I was, you know, I'm not going overboard quite yet about him.
Thanks to the calls that have already come in. Keep them flowing if you can on that usual number or Twitter as well if you fancy it. Let's go to Brian, who's on the line. Brian's a Rangers fan. What are you thinking, Brian?
Well, my big decision is, if I was the manager, I would be drafting James Tavernier. For one thing, he's too soft to tackle. You never see him sliding in to a 50-50. He never wins a 50-50. He gives too many goals away, and he runs about there. I'm not taking anything away from him for his goals, but 9 times out of 10, he's not in the same his position that he should be. He looked back on Saturday to say to Goldson and say, well, the boy, it was his fault the goal went in. But I would drop him for Dijon Sterling at 150%.
There you go.
Seriously, you drop James Tavernier going into this game, Brian? Because, look, I know there's a thing, right? I know there's a thing where still, no matter what he does, he won't win everyone over, and that's fine. Everybody's got their opinions, but on what planet are Rangers going to drop their free scoring captain who plays every game in this one? It's never happened.
He can't defend to save himself.
So you'd rather just play Dujon Sterling without any idea how he's going to fare at right back and take away Tavernier's attacking threat?
Well, that's Dujon Sterling's position, right back. So I would play him and drop that and say, you must have seen it yourselves, the many goals that James Tavernier gives away, and he blames everybody else but himself.
At the end of the day, Brian is more entitled to his opinion, right? Because everybody's opinion's different. But my goodness, I wasn't expecting that. A man that's just come up there at 131 goals.
British record.
Rangers captain. Look, I said earlier in the show, he does come in for a bit of criticism. He has these Achilles heel, everybody says, defending. What he gives going forward, what he gives to that team, there's absolutely no way in this world that Rangers will leave him out that side on Sunday. He's too important to them. And that's my opinion, and I respect Brian's.
I am certain James Tavernier has cost Rangers goals. I'm certain he will cost them goals in the future. I'm not for a second saying he's the all-round defender. But that can't be the case this weekend.
It won't happen. But it's Brian. It's gone. It's Brian's entitled to his views on it.
But we can go straight on and disagree.
Yeah, he sees the game differently. Sees it as from a defensive point of view. He's on about the type of tackling. Obviously, a lot of these type of things now are very rare for any defender to be able to do. Brian, I think if anything, and the goals that they've lost
recently, and we spoke about earlier on, is Conor Goles and either John Souter. They've been more culpable. They've been almost straight through the middle at times and not in the wide areas. But I think it will be a test for Tavernier this week again, because Maeda, as everybody knows, is absolutely electric. He will you know, get at Tavernier every opportunity he goes. Rangers, you would expect, will try and take the game to Celtic, which will leave space. And that is a concern. So I do understand the positional side of it from Brian's point of view, the defensive side. But the game has changed, Brian. It's not about a right back, you know, sliding into tackles and, you know, clattering into players now and getting one on them early on to set the tone. It's a different type of game. And James Tavernier is a modern day attacking fullback and one of the very best in the country. I think he's probably the best in Scotland, but certainly one of the best in the country at being an attacking fullback. I don't think there's any question about that. His stats speak for themselves.
Are we not overlooking the fact, Brian, that, you know, even what he could, you know, pop up, score a free kick, hit one from outside the box, just what that does, how that changes things for Rangers? We seem to want to always put it in a box and say, you know, he can only attack, as if like that might not also come in handy.
Aye, but it's not about enough. Take owning away from his goal scoring ability. He's phenomenal. But this game is the most important game in Rangers for a long, long, long time. We've got a chance of winning a treble, a great chance of winning a treble. But to me, honestly, he cannot defend. He can't defend a first supper, honestly.
Brian, see to go and win a game, what do you have to do in a football match? You have to create, you have to score goals to go and beat the opposition. Tavernier is brilliant at creating. He can get a goal from free kicks. Okay, he missed a penalty kick, but he's usually steady from a penalty kick. He scored the first goal against Tibbs at the weekend.
That's the thing, right? Because inevitably,
I don't buy that.
When we present the counter argument or whatever, I'm not saying he's an incredible defender, far from it. Take Tavernier's name out of this, take Rangers out of this. I'm not sure there is a team anywhere, genuinely, that drops a right back that's got 22 goals this season. I genuinely don't, because we're not talking 7, 8 or 9 goals where you think, well, yeah, he scored a few, but, you know, the other end, it's not making up. It's 22 goals, and I repeat that, I can't envisage any team anywhere dropping a right back that scored 22 goals.
They're talking nonsense. They're not. Unless they will never drop Tavernier at the weekend. Never in a million years. And I said, Brian's quite entitled to his opinion, and I respect that. But there's absolutely no way that Clement is sitting there now thinking, I'll tell you what, like,
it won't even be a close one. It's not marginal.
No, even the counterbalance is, even if he has been culpable for a couple of goals, even if he has, he's the other side of it, he's been responsible for Rangers scoring probably more than 40 or 50 goals, because he's scored 22 and he's probably got the same again in assists. So therefore, if you take two or three goals, they may well have been culpable for, according to Brian, then,
yeah, what do you think of that,
you
Brian?
Take that away from the amount of goals that Rangers have scored and how influential he is in that department.
How many goals do you... No, he's gone, right? I just want one last answer about the goals conceded versus goal scored. But anyway, right, we can take more calls in just a second. Why not react to that if you want? It is not a debate I expected to have tonight, but that is the beauty of a live radio phone-in. Can you name the last 10 players to be sent off in this fixture? Asked by Bob in Shettleston. You've got Callum McGregor, Nir Beaton, Alfredo Morelos.
Scott Wright?
No.
Was Barisic?
No.
Okay, Balogun?
Yes. He's the most recent, apparently.
Yeah.
Ryan Kent?
No.
Ryan Jack?
No.
Keep going, you'll get one of them at that.
I know, that's what
40 names that you've got down
that
list.
You've got to write
them down. So, what are you producing?
I just went Balogun.
Let's go back a bit further.
I was trying to think about, there was one of the Rangers was sprints across the pitch and absolutely clatters into somebody in the last minute. But for the life of me, I can't remember which player it was.
I don't think it was the last minute. I don't think, but I know what you mean. If it's in my head,
I can see the incident.
Who was that?
I'll get it in a minute. But anyway, I'm just
kind of. And I kind of know why you've said that's the one you thought was Scott Wright, isn't it?
Scott Wright,
no. It's before him.
Aye, I thought it was Scott Wright, but
not remember. His manager wasn't happy with him at all.
No, I know that's.
Did he not injure himself in the tackle as well?
I can't remember who that is.
I know.
Come
it's
on.
Completely.
Shh, hear that? That's Glasgow and the West screaming the answer at you two.
Yeah, but I've gave Glasgow and the West every bit of the I've drawn a vivid picture except for the name.
Who was it? But
you know. Well, I mean, that ultimately is the challenge.
Aye. Anyway, there's another four players to get, so we need to drink of them.
No.
It was in the Sakala.
There are a few things that make it, and I know that's why you said Scott Wright is kind of like that, and position that he plays, the league that he was signed from,
You're just confusing me. Can you just get another
Steve Gerrard was the manager, wasn't happy with him.
I know.
Yeah, who was
I'll get it. Just go to get another caller on and we'll
I can do better than that. We will give you a breather and we'll get the answers and more of your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are on the home straight. We're nearly done in tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but still time for you to get your calls in. Let's go to the teaser very quickly. The last 10 players to be sent off in this fixture we've been discussing all night: Leon Balogun, Callum McGregor, Nir Beaton, Alfredo Morelos. Before the break, we had narrowed it down to a winger for Rangers who sprinted across and wiped someone out, and we couldn't quite remember his name. But
I think we got clues. I get clues off Gordon, which he needed to give me, which is a JJ, and it's Jordan Jones.
It is Jordan Jones.
I needed
the only thing you missed. His name.
I knew exactly the most important thing.
Major brownie points if but, you can. Who was the tackle on? This you will never get.
Juranovic?
No. See, Jim's done the right thing. He's thinking, right, whereabouts in the pitch?
Come on, Jim. Back,
he said. Left sided.
It wasn't McGregor. Callum McGregor?
No.
I thought it was one of the
you
games.
Get one guess. You get one guess.
He didn't have a normal left back or something.
Right back.
Ralston.
Moritz Bauer. Remember him?
Oh, the Bond. Never I get that.
Slide back. No.
Oh, there you go.
Come on, give him another
that's
one.
That's a quiz within a quiz.
He's got a terrific shout here. My favourite.
It's Jeremy Celtic Frimpong.
Player at one point.
Jeremy Frimpong.
Oh, yeah, Jeremy. Jeremy Frimpong. Well done.
Yep.
Right, okay. Let's go to Alan, who's on the line. How are you, Alan?
I'm fine. How are you?
Not bad. What's your point tonight?
I listen every night, guys, and I'm never compelled to phone in, right? I'm equally angry and happy, but every night when I listen, because you agree with things I don't, right? But I think the Rangers guy there, I'm a Rangers supporter, phoning in and complaining about James Tavernier, absolute disgrace. The man's a hero for us. He goes out every week, he's probably played through injuries for seasons, and he scores goals, and he set goals up, and he does his best defensively. I just think it's terrible people could not be slagging the guy. I honestly do. What do you think, gentlemen?
I just wonder if we'd like, if it's something that was set in that you'll never move past, because there's an obvious bit here that see if James Tavernier was as good defensively as he was attacking, he wouldn't be here. I think, you know, we've all heard that argument, and it's true. So therefore, in the sort of realistic criteria or realistic skill set, of what we could attract to the Scottish Premiership, the notion that Rangers would drop James Tavernier just that seems a bit bizarre.
Well, we signed him for the Championship, remember? The guy's lifted himself up, dragged some players with him that weren't good enough, I don't care what anybody says, dragged that team forward for at times when they've not been good enough, and now Big Phil's come in, he's built a good team up, and he's still a good captain that represents us really well. And I think it's a disgrace that people are phoning up and complaining about him and wanting him dropped.
I think I'm at the situation with Tavernier. I think when he came in at first, for the first few years, he had to constantly prove himself, right? I think he earns the right to be well by that situation. I think he's done enough for Rangers. I think he's been a terrific leader on the pitch. Is he a ball and shout as a captain? No, he's not. But what he does is, for me, looking at him, and if I was a player playing alongside him, I think he leads by example. I think he gives his everything. He has his bad games like everybody else. He has his mistakes like everybody else. He missed a penalty at the weekend, steps up, takes responsibility, scores the first goal for Hibs. I think he's been, in the last few years especially, I think he's been brilliant for Rangers.
I think it's maybe a generational thing, Alan. I think that a lot of older fans in particular, like to see a certain type of defender, you know, and James Tavernier is a modern type of defender. You know, he's a guy
I'm an older guy.
Yeah, but I'm not saying every person. I just think that the younger group of supporters are brought up with, you know, guys that go and jockey and stand up and don't lunge in and don't clatter into people and are technically better than a lot of players that were back in when I played and all this kind of stuff. So, and Tavernier is one of them. I've said on this programme many, many times, I'm amazed that Rangers didn't have offers in from the English Premiership. Amazed. I look down south and I see so many bang ordinary fullbacks, and Tavernier for me, and the way the game is played now, is as good as any of them around. But I also understand, I've got friends who, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Rangers fans who just do not like James Tavernier and will not change on it. So, the opinion is always going to be divided, although I do think it's swung significantly in his favour. I think there's still a certain group of Rangers fans who just won't take to him. I don't know whether it's because he doesn't have he's not captain the team to maybe enough silverware under their eyes. I'm not sure, but he has a league title, he's a league cup, he took the team to captain to a European final, and as Gordon said, you know, and you've mentioned yourself, Alan, he came in at a very, very difficult time for Rangers, and I think he has improved as Rangers have improved over the last 5-6 years.
Alan, see, you've listened so many times, you've eventually cracked, you compelled to phone in, and now you just need to do it again. We've got you now.
I run every night and I listen to you every night, and every night I either ask him angry or I can be happy, but I still listen every night to all you.
Make sure you phone again, will you?
It's a great show. Right, thanks very much.
Good man.
On, lads. Appreciate it.
You wouldn't commit to that, the way. See you later, Alan.
See nothing for Saturday.
It's Sunday, Alan. Keep running. Alan and Castle. I hope Alan does phone back. I liked Alan. Let's squeeze one more in. Gav is in Drumchapel. How's it going, Gav?
All right, cheers. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure. What are you thinking?
Surely it's about the Rangers fan. I think everybody's got to jump on the bandwagon with this. It's about the Rangers fan basically slating Tav. Tav's been through it with us through some dark times, so I think that, aye, fair enough, he's no there sometimes, but he's scoring the goals and there's no chance ever that he's going to get dropped for that team. The reason why we've got the goal difference we've got is because of Tav. If it wasn't for him, then our goal difference would be terrible. I'm still a bit on the fence where I'm kind of surprised why Tav's never been introduced into a midfielding role, because he seems to be merry. I know he's obviously an attacking player. He likes to get up the field. He likes to cross the balls. He likes to score the goals. But I've been surprised why he's never kind of took that role. I kind of bumped him up a wee bit in the midfield area.
I think a lot of people ask that question, but I think Tavernier prefers to see. And probably guys that have played fullback all their career will tell you that they like to see the big picture, they like to see that space, they like to time their runs, everything. Whereas when you're playing further up, sometimes you're playing with your back to goal and it's, you just don't see the big picture that these guys normally see.
Maybe Gav means a central midfield role.
I think Tavernier is a very clever
footballer. For Rangers in Scotland, he could do it. Because Rangers dominate every game, pretty much. Not all the games, obviously, but most of the games. A bit like Trent Alexander has been getting playing for Liverpool at times. But the game has changed again, Gordon. He doesn't just play in the old familiar right-back area. You see him in his goal at the weekend.
He's almost
an inside right position. Yeah. At times you'll find himself in the middle of the pitch. At times you'll find himself wide. So a full-back now is all-encompassing. It's similar to Celtic. You don't see Greg Taylor just sitting as a left-back. You see him middle of the pitch. So full-backs are going to move all over the place.
Thank you, Gav. We'll need to leave it there. And I said it would have to be short because we're nearly done. Quickly on the teaser, four more.
Four?
Of the last ten, or five, sent off five. In an Old Firm game. Balogun, McGregor, Beaton, Morelos, Jones. Quick, we'll need to fire through them.
There's just one.
No.
Hell has Juf, is it?
You, later, off, later,
you said one, I think, during the break. Have you given me it yet?
Lundstrom. No, Frimpong.
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 Okay.
Right.
What about friend of the show?
Kenny Miller.
Other one.
Wilson.
Other one.
Halliday.
Halliday. It was after the game, wasn't it? I think the full time whistle had gone. What about. There was. You remembered the elbow, but it wasn't Starfelt. It was a bit before that. Remember? Obviously not.
Matt.
Croatian. Defender.
Oh no. Oh no.
Quick.
What was his name?
Simunovic.
Sam.
What I mean. Brendan Rodgers, was that his first one? Dembele hat trick that day.
Yeah,
Senderos. And Ross McCrory. You two are
hopeless.
We've run out of time, but we're back at six tomorrow.
He didn't look fit at all, so.
What on earth are you?